Welcome to Christ Today. Oh, what a beautiful day it is. A beautiful day to give oneself to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, be with us as we seek to know Jesus and His righteousness. In His name we pray. Amen. This world is not our home. If it were, our attitude might be another day, another dollar. Instead, our real home is in heaven with Jesus, which leads us to say and pray, another day, another soul saved. We do recognize that there is a real heaven and a real hell. As followers of Christ, our eternal home is in heaven. So then the eternal home of the unsaved is hell. And knowing this, we want all to become a follower of Jesus Christ. So we pray for the unsaved, and we spread the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ with our prayers and our actions. So let us reflect that phrase, another day, another soul saved. We can help this process along by sending those little pieces of paper that we call dollars to missionaries or ministries, and let us remember the joy of giving. And if you have some for this broadcast, that would be great too. And I am thankful for your prayers and your financial support. I believe we demonstrate our faith by how we pray and apply our time, and our dollars too. And God has given us free will as we go through life. And probably this life reflects our spiritual and eternal values and destiny. If we live our life separated from God Jesus, that becomes our eternal destiny, separated from God, and that means hell. And if we live our life joined to God Jesus, that becomes our eternal destiny, joined with God Jesus in heaven. All right, that's kind of a general, but it really doesn't matter what I believe or you believe. Really, the only thing that matters is what God says. And the best way to understand God's truth is to read God's Bible. His Bible has been called a love letter to us. And we know we want to grow in our relation with Jesus and have eternal security. One day, every one of us will look death in the face, and then we'll know for sure how essential our relation with Jesus is. I do talk about physical and other kinds of preparedness, and that is very good. But there is no preparation more important, more essential, as our spiritual preparedness, where you are ready to meet Jesus and be judged by Jesus. When that happens, you will want to know that Jesus will cover your inequities, your sin, and as a part of this process, we repent and are born again. If you have not done it yet, secure your relation with Jesus now, and don't wait until the last minute of your life. I've heard this story of a person who spent a lifetime denying Jesus, denying God, and then in the last minutes of their life, they told someone nearby that they wanted to change. They wanted to turn away from things of the world and turn to Jesus. But now at the last moments, they were unable to, even though they realized Jesus was the truth, the way, and the life. So that man died without Jesus, and what a tragedy that was. Do not let that happen to you, and do pray for those who do not yet have a personal relation with Jesus. For many, or for most, at this time of year, our thoughts are full of what to give. And that pretty much has to do with physical things. But really, we want our gift to be eternal life. Isn't that much, much better to think about giving the gift of eternal life in heaven? Now, that's not ours to give, but we can encourage a person towards that end. And so let us keep that thought in our heart as we live each day. Even now, at this joyous time of year, when we celebrate Jesus Christ and the gift that he has given us, remember, yes, Jesus has given a gift, but each one of us still need to accept that gift. And if we do not accept that gift, we do not have it. Oh, what a beautiful day it is. God and his kingdom are so very beautiful and wonderful. But we do not live there yet. Right now, we all live here on this earth. And so our thoughts go a little each direction towards God orientation and toward what we deal with as we go through this life each day in the world. Oh, yeah. 2 days ago, I went into a small corporate store, and the woman asked me what I wanted, and I told her, and she pointed me into that direction. As I took that first step, she said, "Please put your mask tight over your nose." You know, it was over my nose. It was pretty good, too, but I guess not perfect. So I responded nicely and said, "You know, masks are not a requirement of the law." Well, we got into a little discussion there. I was always nice, and she was always nice. But 2 sentences later, she said to the 2 other gals in the store, "Go into the back room and shut the door." And they did. They did that immediately. So I made my purchase, and I left, wondering if she hurried those two employees into the back room to protect them from a virus, or so that they would not hear a boss being questioned with a logical, fact-based argument. I may never know. But it did make me more aware of the level of, well, fear that is being promoted by corporations just in the world. Fear is plentiful, and where fear is plentiful, logic and reason are diminished. And then I thought some more, and I thought about the statements by doctors and scientists, professors and medical researchers, that I've listened to them over the last 8 months, and even a week ago, I still listen to the arguments about masks. Do they give a measure of safety, or do they do more harm than good? You know, we have information available, but hardly anybody wants to search out the information. And so what happens is we get an authority that tells us what to do, and we do it. That's what's going on now. But at least be aware that there is something called the Great Barrington Declaration that is signed by, 10,000, 15,000 or so physicians and scientists from around the world who oppose the social restrictions that we are going through, and they oppose the wearing of masks. See, there is a little contest going on right now between those who want to cause fear and panic and close down our society and close down our economy. And so people are getting other people to speak one way or the other about the masks that we wear. And there is also discussion about our economy shutting down. And don't you know, it is evident that our economy is shutting down, and it will take probably 10, maybe even 15 years to recover. And we will, it's even possible we don't recover. And then those without a job now will have no job for many years. It's just kind of a pattern that happens. And while we don't know what the actual truth of the situation is, we can see the patterns. We can see what happens to economies when they do shut down. And we are told about how very deadly this virus is and how this COVID virus kills less than 1% of the people who get it. But we're closing things down. And California has shut down its schools. But the official reports, at least one of them, states that of all the children under the age of 18 in California, there have been 2 corona COVID deaths of the children under age 18 in California. And yet, all of the schools are shut down. And if a teacher has COVID, there is less than half of 1% chance that they will die. Almost everybody recovers. So we have an excessive amount of fear going on everywhere. There's a Pew Research poll that says that 43% of the people who attend church regularly at the beginning of the year, they do not intend to return to church. Now, So that's just within 1 year, less than a year. So can we wonder if this virus has anything to do with the great falling away written about in 2 Thessalonians 2:3? It just might be. Yep, and just think, probably everyone in America can see that this is a beginning of a gigantic change. And most of us are still in shock. So shocked and so stunned that we allow the rules to be imposed upon us and we forget the way life used to be or the way we want life to be. The freedoms that we used to enjoy. Well, let's see. For whatever is coming, we do want to remember to show grace and compassion to others. And we want them to show grace and compassion to us. So let's just demonstrate this to everybody, but especially the younger generations. I think about those who are, well, they have a label on them of called the snowflake generation or so. Apparently they are called this because they melt when a little heat is applied. But meltdown is a human condition. It's just that we all have meltdown differently, and every generation is a little different. For instance, today, we cannot imagine having to fight in the jungles of Vietnam or in the mud of World War II eating K-rations and thinking about the thousands and thousands of American soldiers who died in one battle or another. So it's just a different amount of things that cause us to melt down. I remember an old friend of mine who had been in World War II. He told the story of when he was in the Navy. There was an old soldier who should have retired, but they let him stay around as an office, as a minor officer in the Navy. And that old soldier lamented that the soldiers of World War II, well, let's see, here's what he said. In the old days, the men were made of iron and the ships were made of wood. Nowadays, the ships are made of iron and the men are made of wood. Yeah, so doesn't that make you wonder what the soldiers are made of today? Well, everything changes. Everything changes. See, do you remember some of the older days that you've read about? Do you remember reading about Valley Forge during our Revolutionary War? How some soldiers had no boots and they had to walk in the snow without boots, but their feet were only wrapped in cloth. See, we cannot imagine that today. Of course we can't. And yet, just think of our military boots today. They are all made in China. And if we went to war with China or an ally of China, do you think that the Chinese would supply our military with boots? Oh, well, I guess that was kind of going from one subject to another, but I do that sometime. So, the snowflake generation. We who are older cannot imagine how and why some things are so difficult for them. But we who are older, we had a different sort of a life growing up. Yeah. Here, this was sent to me yesterday, so I'm going to read it for a minute or two. It's about how the older generations grew up. Here goes. First, many of you survived mothers who smoked or drank while they were pregnant, and even took aspirin or ate tuna from a can, and they were not tested for diabetes. As a baby, you were put into a playpen with brightly colored lead-based paint. There were no child-proof lids on medicine bottles or child-proof door latches on the cabinets. Later, you did not wear a helmet while you were riding a bicycle. And cars of the day did not have seat belts or airbags. And riding in the back of the pickup was legal and fun. You drank water from a garden hose, and we shared a bottle of soda with several friends. Your sodas had real sugar, and you ate cakes with lots of sugar, and ate white bread sandwiches. And you were not overweight because you were always outside playing. There were days when you went outside when it got light and did not return home until it was dark, and it was okay. Sometime there would be a bicycle or a go-kart without brakes. You rode it anyway. And sometime you stopped by driving into the bushes. Back then there were no Xboxes, Nintendos, or PlayStations. There were no electronic games, no videos. The TV that there was only had a few stations, and there were no smartphones, no texting, no Twitter, no personal computer, and no internet. You had friends, and you went outside to find them. Maybe you played with bugs or worms, and maybe you fell out of a tree, and yes, you got cuts and bruises, or even broke a bone, but there were no lawsuits. You made up games with sticks and balls. There were neighborhood team sports, and not everyone made it onto the team. You learned to deal with disappointment. The idea of a parent bailing you out of trouble with the law was unheard of. In fact, they sided with the law. This produced a generation of inventors, risk takers, and problem solvers who brought innovation and new ideas into society. You had freedom and success and failure and responsibility, and you learned how to deal with it all. This was before the age of attorneys and government that strongly regulated our lives for our own good. Were we brave? No, I don't think so. We just learned a different set of skills. And I am confident that if the younger generation indeed needed to learn a set of schools in order to live, that they would. Whether it was surviving on K rations or rice and beans. Well, that's interesting. So, if we ever had something, I'm sure there would be lots of people who would just live through the crisis and would be just fine. Everything would be fine with them. But there are people who would die too, really. But we all die at some point. So we are. Every one of us is faced with the ultimate question and concern of whether we know Jesus personally. And I think another part of that is how do we share Jesus and the good news of the gospel with others? I think it's so very important to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the right words at the right time. And then we want to be willing to speak the good news of the gospel as best we know how. We just want to be willing to do that. That's a form of obeying God. And when you think of where we are in God's timeline, it looks to me like we are at the end of the last days. And we can see that from the Bible, what the Bible says. And from the Bible, we also know that there are spiritual and challenging times that are going to come in every sense. Yes, spiritually, yes, physically, yes, emotionally, and as we deal with other people, all of it, challenging times. See, from the Bible, we learn these things, and from natural or human history, what the history books say, we also know that there are going to be worldly concerns coming our way. And a lot of those concerns are going to have to do with money and what we can buy. In my opinion, I think we are going to have to live without a lot of things as we put Jesus first and our physical comfort second. But that's a personal opinion. We'll have to wait and see what really does develop. About the monetary concerns, we can see that the decisions that are being made today by those big important people like the big national or international bankers and our central bankers and our government, I think we can see that what's going on is a great expansion of our money supply. And if you look at history, you know what will happen. It's so clear that inflation is going to happen, and not just regular inflation, but hyperinflation. That's the course we are on. And we are expanding our U.S. national debt so greatly, too. But it's not just our country. The entire world is increasing its debt to levels never before seen. And there's a pattern. You can call it a historical pattern. You can call it an economic pattern. Or you can see from biblical examples what happens when there's a great big supply, or when there's a famine or a lack of supply. The oversupply is going to cause a collapse. And sure, it's overly simplified to look at the situation like that, but it is still a generally accurate examination. And we just have to wonder, if you know the direction, you just have to ask, what are you going to do when the prices of the goods we buy increase by 5 times the present cost? And then they increase to 50 times our present day cost. But our income will not increase fast enough. See, then we are in a completely different situation that we have never known before, but other countries have seen. And we see that people lose their homes and their properties left and right. That is a historical pattern. The only question that you might have if you observe that pattern is what the timing of it will be. And we have a really hard time understanding the timing, and we also have a really hard time coping with those big changes in life like that. So when you think of that so-called snowflake generation, just realize that it's all relative. They have things that they're having a hard time dealing with, and we might have a hard time dealing with all the realities of life also. I think of that financial and social commentator, Gerald Celente. He is fond of saying, when people lose everything, they lose it. And you see, he observes that because that is what he sees as going to happen in our society. I guess I'm reading a little bit into it, but not much, I don't think. So maybe you wonder how it is that I can talk about all these troubles and things that are just looking like they're going to happen at this very joyous time of year. It's because I have a real concern. You see, there were two times in my life when I had a very severe economic loss. And each time before that happened, I saw myself as successful and secure. So much that I thought I did not have to be concerned about money kind of things like other people had to be concerned. But I got some hard and severe lessons. Oh, yes, I did. And so today, I don't want you to have those hard lessons. So I talked to you about these subjects which we really don't want to address because they're kind of hard. But I'm a history guy, and I have seen how history repeats, and I have seen how the decisions we make affect each one of us. I know how easy it is for the decisions we make to not be as good as they can be. So I also know that many people who would be saying, it won't happen to me. I know better. Yeah. Oh, yes. Like, I was one of those too. And I've heard people also say that the rich people in charge would never let a crash happen. After all, they don't want to lose their money. Yeah, but my response to that is, those very rich people don't care specifically about money. They just want to have the most of whatever it is they're gathering, whether it's property or money or power or influence. It's not money that they're concerned with. So when we have these patterns repeat in history regarding money or hyperinflation, we can kind of see where things can go. And there's those really smart people today, and they have very complex discussions about credit and debit, about the creation of M1, 2, or 3, or the velocity of money, or about quantitative easing, or the injection of hundreds of billions of dollars into the repo market. That was just in September of last year to through January of this year. So the repo market is a question. Let's see. That the Fed is creating dollars on a computer screen to loan our federal government in the trillions of dollars for economic stimulus. That's this year. So we can see that these are the trends, and history shows us what these trends will bring us. They show us that when money I mean, dollars or whatever the form of currency is, when it is printed in excess, it will lead to a crash. And that is, I think that's why the big financial people nowadays are saying that a gigantic reset will come to our nation, to our society, our economy, and in fact, it will be a global economic reset for the entire world. So we kind of search it out. I don't mean I know what it means exactly, but there's plenty of people who will tell you plenty of things. Let's just look at the basics of it. The basics are that trouble's coming our way, and it is financial trouble. It is with money, with currency. And there are writers in the past who have talked about what the goal of all this is. And while I don't know the goal, I do know that there are those writers who have talked about the goal being to turn every normal person today into somebody who lives conservatively in the world so they don't impact our environment. And that means putting every person into an environment of that of a medieval peasant, so that they are in a green and sustainable world. Now, I don't mean we're going to get there, but I do mean to say there are people who have that thought, have that goal to protect Mother Earth. And so we have to just look at what this means for each one of us. What are the things that we want to consider? I know with a thought like that, we can think of how would we protect ourselves from people with that philosophy. I think of limiting our debt. Well, eliminating our debt, really. And by having an asset that retains its value through a depression. I've talked about that before. Things that hold their value for what we use normally, like tools or food or the medium of trade, which there has always been, is silver coin and gold, of course, but those are things that are historical for keeping their value through a depression. It's a good question, and each one of us will answer it in a way that we understand and in a way that we think about. It's something to think about, but not to spend your life dwelling on, that's for sure. Especially right now, this time of the year, let's not forget the many people who are showing the love of Christ to others. But another thing that goes on at this time of year is that many people will be increasing their debt. And that is not a good thing if we are heading into a collapse where the number of jobs we have are limited and the value of money, of what we can buy with the dollars that we have, decreases and decreases. And we do have signs of that we are at the beginning of a certain collapse. I think one of the ways you can see that is the number of businesses today that are shutting their doors. Or you could say they're going bankrupt. It's both. And it means something when we see that creditors who a few years ago, creditors to a business, when the company went bankrupt, the creditors still collected an average of 78 cents on the dollar. But today, I mean this year, they are often collecting between 22 cents and 47 cents on the dollar that was loaned. See, that's affecting, well, we can look at it at the indicators of what it means to go from like a year or two ago, an average of 78 cents on the dollar collected to 22 to 47 cents on the dollar. So a lot of us will say, oh, those poor creditors, they deserved it. Well, it is true. Ooh, yeah. But it still makes a difference for what we observe in our whole economic picture. So we can use that as an indicator of what's going on as systems are going in the direction of failure. So we get to decide what to do in our own life and what it means. And I suppose what I would say is try to keep things balanced in your life where you have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I do think of how important it is to have the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that is not to do with how many dollars you have. That has to do with what's in your heart and soul. But we do have material concerns also, and we have so much that is still wonderful and good in our life. And don't forget that. Here we have so many blessings just being in a country like United States of America. In other countries right now, there's so many different things going on. So many countries are having flooding. Now, I've talked about that in the past of really the big upheaval that a flood happens when a flood goes through the streets of your city. And in China right now, there is massive flooding going on where hundreds of thousands of people have been forced to leave their homes. And there have been landslides because of the rains, where hundreds have lost their life, many hundreds. So, I'm sure that those Chinese who have had a catastrophe, I'm sure they would like to have been warned so that they could be prepared for what was coming before the catastrophe hit them. And from what I see, we are blessed to be seeing the signs of an economic catastrophe coming our way. And we just don't know the timing of it. We don't know when it will hit. But to me, the signs are so clear of an economic catastrophe coming that I speak about it so much. I talk about historical examples to show that, well, we don't know when it's coming, but the historical examples show that it could be quick and it could be years away. Oh, that just reminds me of earthquakes. You know that nobody knows when earthquakes come either. But we do know that there are patterns to earthquakes, and yet when they happen, it is without warning, so to speak. And those big earthquakes, they hit us very hard. And we do know that earthquakes will hit us again because of history. And we also know that economic problems will hit us again because of history. So what do? We take some reasonable preparedness steps to help us with whatever comes our way. Now, we all think different about what those steps are. And even if we are told what to do, we just don't always do it. But it starts with thinking about what could happen, and then we take the steps that we want to take. And always, always, always we want to remember to keep in our hearts the joy of the Lord. If we don't have the joy of the Lord in our heart for that eternal joy, well, it just makes everything a lot more difficult. I think of people who have gone through hard times before, and they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. I think of the Book of Martyrs. It talks about in the ages past what they went through, the martyrs. And so I know that if they had that faith and joy, we also can have that faith and joy. In that Book of the Martyrs, it tells about pastors and people who were martyred. And I remember one girl in France. From what I recall, it was the Inquisitors who got a hold of her parents. They were the ones who were being investigated. And at that time, the girl was aged 15. And she was too young to be charged by the Inquisitors. So she would have gotten off just by being silent. But she stood strong for Christ, and she would not recant her testimony for Christ. And so she met her glorious fate as a martyr. Well, there's so many people today who are martyrs for Jesus, and they are everywhere in the world. And may God bless them and give them grace. Yes, I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Well, some months back on Christ Today, I described an 8-minute video on YouTube of a girl in her late teens. Apparently, she was a Hindu girl being surrounded by a group of, 20, 30 men and women who were pushing her around, shoving her, and then they hit her. And then someone threw a liquid on her and lit it. And then you saw her fall to the ground and die. So yes, we have martyrs today. We certainly do. You know that there have been martyrs on television. You maybe remember from 5 years ago, there was the 21 Coptic Christians who were beheaded for their faith. And since then, there have been other beheadings of Christians by Muslims in Egypt. In Egypt alone, there have been dozens of beheadings of Christians. Another thing that has happened to Christians is they have been put on a cross to die. That was in the Middle Eastern countries, again by Muslims. See, we live in a world where there is an extreme one way or the other, and we do want to live and die for our faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot going on. We don't know what will exactly affect us, but there are people who have different beliefs from us, and we better know that. Oh, that reminds me, just in the last summer, there was a court in Egypt that sentenced 5 young women to 2 years in prison for each one of them because they posted a quote-unquote indecent video on TikTok. Yeah, 2 years in prison for an indecent video. I don't know what that would mean in the Muslim world. But, I just don't know. 2 years is a long time for anybody to spend in prison. Well, there are martyrs here and there, every, and I didn't mean that they were martyrs. I just thought of that one. So there are martyrs every day, and they probably don't wake up that day and say, "Today I'm going to meet Jesus." I don't think so. But we don't know what was going to happen each and every day either. We do desire to serve our Lord each and every day, and we do look ahead to our glorious eternity with Jesus. Very few of us are going to die a martyr's death. We will probably just serve our Lord in a quiet way. And, you know, each one of us can do something. Every one of us. And that makes me think of Nick Vujicic. Let's see, Nick, V-U-J-I-C-I-C. He's a man with no arms and no legs. He was born that way. He's now about 35 or 40. And he has spent at least a dozen years speaking to large groups of people, from students to prison. He just has one little flipper foot attached to his torso. But God has blessed him with a ministry. He is an evangelist. And God has blessed him with a wife and his own children. Wow. God is so good. And there's another evangelist by the name of David Ring. He was active 20 or 30 years ago. He has cerebral palsy, and his speech was really, really affected. But he was faithful, and his calling was to go to different churches and speak his message. His speech, you could still understand, but it certainly was affected. He was booked for probably 2 years all across the world. He looks completely normal, but he struggled with speech. Yes, he did. But God blessed him with a family also, a wife and two children. I don't know, I think it was three. But the point is, God does bless each and every one of us. And we want to remember to be thankful for all the blessings that we do have, to give God thanks. To give God thanks for the most simple comforts that we have. To give God thanks for our eternal salvation. You know, we all think about our blemishes and our failings, and we think about how we are blotched or how we are sinful. We do that especially when we compare ourselves with a holy person. You know, Jesus, of course, is the most holy of all. And when we see our blemishes and our sin, we can just be so thankful that we have Jesus. So grateful. We have forgiveness of our sins, and we want to thank him by serving him each and every day. We thank him for his forgiveness, for his love, for his healing. And when we look back on our sin, our lack of holiness, we can just be so thankful for his forgiveness and his love. And we know even if we are looking at it in human terms, we know the wrongs we have done. But if you look at it compared to the holiness of Christ, oh, we are so unworthy. So we want to thank God for all that he does for us. Thank you, Jesus. And let us each ask for his forgiveness, confess our sins, ask for his forgiveness, and repent, which means to turn from our sin and to walk away from our sin and turn towards the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. So often, we have to ask God for a little help, or a lot of help, to turn from our sin. And sometime, God answers that immediately, and right away, we have a very noticeable change, And sometimes God lets that struggle continue for a while. And it's all according to his will and his purpose and who we are. God knows just what it's going to take to transform us, to turn us into another person. So sometimes we do have to keep asking God for strength or comfort or healing or for that transformation. And yes, we know of the testimonies. We know of the stories of present and past Christians who have been transformed from their old life into a new born-again life. So many wonderful and amazing stories. And they just show us, they remind us that through faith we can transform our lives. God, thank you in Jesus' name. We want to develop that personal relationship with Jesus, where we speak to him with our heart each and every day. We want to have that constant communication, and we have our hearts and our minds to deal with, and always that's a part of how we want to deal with life too. Yes, with our heart, but also with our mind. We need both of them to interact with everything that's in front of us. And then we're thankful for the power and the grace of God as he works in each one of our lives. So don't we want to study the Bible each and every day? Yes, that brings our heart and mind closer and closer to our God Jesus. And we pray for each other. That's an important part too. We pray for each other, and that's important. You know, I always forget this because I don't like to ask for money, but if there is someone who would like to donate, especially this time of year, we think of giving gifts. And I do make sacrifices to keep Christ Today on the air. And I certainly don't mind if I have any donations. I certainly appreciate them. And donations will help to pay for the radio costs that I have. And I do also have that free pamphlet, which I am so happy to send out, about preparedness. So if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I will be so glad to send you that preparedness pamphlet. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Shine your light, I am yours.